Bruchim Aboim, welcome everybody to part 16 of our series on Bitochin. We are learning the Chelos Havovas, Shara Bitochin, and we are in the middle of Perek Dalad. Perek Dalad, as mentioned last time, is the most lengthy of all the Prokim in Shara Bitochin. And basically, in this Perek, the Chelos Havovas literally takes our hand and goes through every area of life and guides us exactly what it is that the Chiyuv of Bitochin requires, balancing it together, as always, with the Chiyuv of Hishtadlus. To be Boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not mean sit back and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu run the show, because although HaKadosh Baruch Hu does run the show, but it's conditional on us doing our correct Hishtadlus. So the last time that we met, we learned the first part of Perek Dalad, in which the Chelos Havovas spoke about our Hishtadlus to look after our physical body, whether it be survival, whether it be our health, or generally Parnasa, in order to sustain ourselves every stage of the way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely requires not for us to rely on a miracle, but to do reasonable and sensible Hishtadlus. To do anything to the contrary is not called bitochin. That is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and that's what we discussed last time, whether it be basic survival, whether it be seeking medical help from doctors, etc., etc. Today, Be'ezus Hashem, we will look at the second part. The Chelos Havovas actually splits this perek into seven. But tonight, in Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to look at the second part of our Chiyuv Bitochin with regard to day-to-day life, and specifically with regard to our attitude towards Parnasa and wealth in general. The Chelos Havovas tells us, as mentioned, that a person has to do Hishtadlus in order to sustain himself financially. To merely sit back and wait for money to rain down min hashamayim, although of course it could happen, everything could happen, but you must not be semach al hanes. And in fact, the opinion of the Chelos Havovas is right back from day one of creation. This is what Adam Harishon had to do as well. La'ovda u'lashamra, he had to work hard to sustain himself. There is, of course, as the Chelos Havovas points out, a very critical distinction, however, between the money needed to sustain myself and extras. Now, it's true, you have to be on a very, very lofty level of bitochin to do hishtadlus, to earn exactly what you need and no more. I can tell you that I once heard from a cousin of mine, Rabbi Ezer Pine, in the Gros Shul, many of you may know him. He once told me that he used to be learning day to day in Yerushalayim, and he needed on one occasion to purchase from a store in Meir Sha'arim some material for a curtain, I believe. So he checked out, he found out there was a store on Meir Sha'arim that indeed sells the material, exactly the one that he was looking for. So one day, after the morning seder, during the lunch break, Bein HaStorim, he went up to Meir Sha'arim, and to his surprise, he found that the store was closed. So clearly these were not his opening hours. Fine, it wasn't urgent. The next day he went back to the store, but slightly later on. If on the first day he went at 1:30, this time he went at 2:30, and once again, the store was closed. So he went back a third time, at a different hour, later on in the day, and again the store was closed, and it was very strange to him. He couldn't quite work out, so what exactly, when exactly were the opening hours of this store? And he looked around at the store window, and there was no times, opening, closing. After visiting this store several times, on one occasion he went there, and indeed, the store was open. Sitting by an counter with his old yid, learning from a sefer, and he looked up at my cousin and said, how can I help you? And he cut him the material he needed and he sold it to him. My cousin asked him, he said, if you don't mind me asking, what exactly are your opening hours? I've come at different times and your store was not open and now I've come back and it is. What exactly are your opening hours? And he said to him, I don't have official opening hours. I know how much it is I need to get through every day. How much I need to survive the day. So I open my store in the morning, and once I've had enough customers that have brought me sufficient parnassa for the day, I close up shop and I go to the Beis HaMedrash for the remaining part of the day to learn. Why would I need to sit in the store to learn extra money? I don't need that extra money. Now that clearly is a very commendable and a high madrega of bitochen. He wasn't interested in earning an extra shekel. If I know this is how much I need to get me through the day, then once I've got there, what on earth would I need to sit in my store for? So I go to the Beis HaMedrash. Most people, safe to say, are not on that level. And we need perhaps what we call financial security. But the Chovas HaVavas warns us and says that our Ike Hishtadlus should be going towards the money that we need, not the money that we want. This does not preclude putting away money for the future. This might well be considered a basic and necessary part of our Hishtadlus. But to invest in time and energy and effort for the pure sake of becoming wealthy, says the Chovas HaVavas, a tremendous chidush. That Hishtadlus won't help. Your Hishtadlus may indeed help you earn what you need, because indeed you need it. Like we said, if you don't do Hishtadlus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not send you your basic needs, even though everything is min hashamayim, but it's conditional. But those extra wealth, which as we will mention in a moment, it could well be some azoicha to that, but that will come about whether or not you do Hishtadlus or not. It's irrelevant. So whilst all wealth, money, basic needs all come in Hashamayim, our efforts have to be invested in that which we need, not in having extra wealth. Having said all of that, the Chovas HaVavas says a very important principle. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has organized the world in a manner where there are wealthy people. Wealthy, by the way, does not necessarily mean a multimillionaire. It means I have more than I need. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set the world up in this way, rather than allocating every individual exactly what he needs, not a penny more and not a penny less, is so that these people who have more than they need are faced with a constant test. The money sent to them is not sent to them for them to splash out on expensive cruises. That's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent them this money. But rather, it comes with responsibility. The mistake that the wealthy person makes, and again I stress, wealthy doesn't mean you have billions stashed in the bank. It means you have more than you need. The mistake that a wealthy person can make, says the Chovas HaVavas, is threefold. Firstly, the wealthier he becomes, the more he craves to earn more, and is tempted, therefore, perhaps to do so in means which are not halachically permissible. But he can hardly help himself. Once you have 100, you're desperate for 200. Problem is, when you get to the 200, you're still not happy, because then you want another 200, you want 400, and so on and so forth. So there is a tremendous yetzer hara, the yetzer hara of a wealthy person. The poor man, although the one who has exactly what he needs and has no great prospects in becoming wealthy, doesn't have this yetzer hara. But the one who sees the avenue to wealth open in front of him might well be tested. All of Hishtadlus, you'll remember, said the Chovas HaVavas, is a test. Even to earn one's basic needs is also a test. Will I earn my basic bread through permissible means or not? When you enter the realms of wealth, that test is stepped up. And the mistake that that the wealthy person can on occasion make is going about accruing that wealth in non-halachically permissible manners. Second mistake is that even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind as to bequeath him wealth, and he finds himself with money in his bank account, which he doesn't technically need, but he makes now the second mistake in thinking, well, if I have it, surely I must spend it. In fact, he comes with a frum mistake. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent it to me, it must be that I need it. Why else would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have sent it to me? So I better buy those four cars, the expensive home, the cruise, and everything else which is unnecessary, because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent me the money. What should I do? Just sit there doing nothing? That's the second mistake that a wealthy person can make. The third mistake, the third and final mistake is, even if he earns his money in a permissible manner, even if he understands what the purpose of that wealth is, and indeed he distributes to others, but he demands recognition and appreciation. The Chovos Avodos elsewhere also describes this, and he says, I do not understand, he says, I am tomea. I am totally bewildered by those who, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has benched them with wealth, specifically for the purpose of passing on to others, and then they go around demanding kavod, appreciation. We must not make a mistake. We have discussed this on other occasions. In fact, it was a while ago that we had Vadim on the Chiyuv of Akara Satoiv, and we spoke quite clearly about this particular phenomenon. The recipient of the money undoubtedly has a chiyuv of Akara Satoiv, no question about that. That's not what the Chovos Avodos is coming to preclude. He's talking about the donor demanding that Akara Satoiv. The chiyuv of Akara Satoiv is on the part of the recipient. That's his Avodas Hashem. I think I mentioned then a story which I heard from my father. In the name of the Preshborger of Rabbi Akiva Sofer. Rabbi Akiva Sofer was a great-grandson, Ben Achaben of the Chassam Sofer. And he was a Rav, tremendous stature. Towards the end of his life, he came to Eretz Yisrael and was recognized as one of the Gedolei Yisrael. The Preshborger of once approached one of his Kehillah members the day after Purim and said to him, he said to him in Yiddish, but we'll translate, he said, you didn't bring me shlachmonas on Purim. And this person was rather taken aback. Number one, that the Rav noticed, but even more that the Rav now was coming to demand it. And he said to the Rav needs my shlachmonas? And the Rav says, no, I don't, but you needed to bring it. The Chovos Avodos is describing exactly that phenomenon. The Rav wasn't demanding the shlachmonas because he needed his bottle of wine or chocolates as a token of appreciation. But this member of Kehillah, of his Kehillah, needed to offer it as a token of his appreciation. But that's his Avodas Hashem. It may well be the role of the Rav was to point out his shortfallings, his shortcomings in his Avodas Hashem. But certainly the Rav was not demanding a bottle of wine. By the way, I have plenty in my machzan. If anybody wants to take a bottle, you're more than welcome to help yourself. The reason why, says the Chovos Avodos, it's a tremendous mistake to demand the Hakara Satoiv, because whilst it's 100% true that the recipient of an absolute chiyuv of Hakara Satoiv, but by demanding it, you are showing a recognition, a mistaken recognition of the fact that if not for the fact that I would have given you the money, how stuck you would have been. That is his mistake. By demanding Akara Satoiv and transmitting a message as in, You're lucky I gave you the money, because otherwise you would be begging, you would have died of starvation. That's his mistake. And Rabbi Yisrael, how timely this message is. Purim Katan tonight. So I wish everybody a happy Purim. It's a pasuk in the Megillah. When Mordechai says those famous words to Esther Hamalkin, he says, Mi yodea, who knows im higat lo eis hazois l'malchus? Maybe this is your big moment and this is why you became the queen. But then he adds, Revach v'hatzola ya'amoid li'yehudim b'mokoyim acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save Klal Yisrael either way. The Hatzalah will come. It'll either come through you, and if you don't step up to take up this tremendous opportunity and responsibility, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that it comes mimokim acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't abandon Klal Yisrael. It's your choice whether you want to be the vehicle, whether you want to be the medium through which this happens. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated that you are the queen in the palace, then clearly this is what he expects of you. But if indeed you don't take up your responsibility, Revach v'hatzola ya'amoid li'yehudim mimakom acher, Klal Yisrael will be saved either way. So too, the wealthy person who donates to the yeshiva, to the kollel, to the hachnasas kala, to the hatzola, to the shul, whatever cause it may well be, to demand hakaras hatoiv is in fact a statement of how thankful you should be, because without me, perhaps you would have died of starvation. Perhaps this wedding never would have taken place. Perhaps this yeshiva would have closed down. No. Revach v'hatzola ya'amoid li'yehudim mimakom acher. It's true. The recipient has an absolute chiyuv of hakaras hatoiv, because he, the donor, chose to exercise his bechira to give you the money. For that you owe him hakaras hatoiv. But that's the avodas Hashem of the recipient, not of the donor. The correct attitude of the donor, and this is such a fundamental yesod, the correct attitude of the donor, and every one of us, by the way, is in this category. None of us should be sitting here listening, thinking, well, I'm not a multi-billionaire, so this is not negeya to me. Because we all have chiyuvei tzedakah, some more, some less. But you know, the Miri Rosh Hashiva, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once went to America for a mere fundraising dinner. And he said the following line, which perhaps might sound comical, but it absolutely represents the Hashkofas HaTorah, and this is coming from a Gadol HaTorah. The Mir Yeshiva at the time was in terrible financial straits, deep financial crisis, and they needed millions to really prop themselves up. Reb Nosson Tzvi, b'mesiras nefesh rav, k'darkei b'kodesh, travels to America, and he stands up at the fundraising dinner and he says, Moirai v'rabois, I have good news to share with you. The Mir Yeshiva is not lacking one single dollar. We have all the money that we need. Everybody's sitting there thinking, so it's a free lunch. But then Reb Nosson Tzvi added, we have all the money we need, not $1 short. The only thing is, he said, at the moment, it's sitting in your pockets. He didn't mean it as a joke. Reb Nosson Tzvi was not a comedian, he was a Gadol b'Yisrael. But this is the absolute Hashkafas HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send on occasion the money to the Mir Yeshiva via somebody else's pocket. Just as when you enter your bank and you ask the cashier, could you please give me 1,000 shekel? What does the cashier think? That he or she is giving you her money, his money? They are holding your money. They are the trustees for your money. And if they refuse to give it to you, you will ensure that it comes your way by hook or by crook. You thank them politely for being the vehicle, but not more than that. After all they did was give you the money that was yours anyway. So the Meir Yeshiva is not lacking, is not short of any money whatsoever. It happens to be that at the moment it's in your pocket. So you have the choice. Ubocharetem batoi, ubocharetem bochai. You can either choose to pass on the money to its rightful owner, which is the Meir Yeshiva, or you can choose not to exercise your bechira. Well, then two things will happen. Number one, the Meir Yeshiva will not fold. Revach v'hatzola yamoid leYehudim mimakom acher. So the yeshiva will thrive. That's one thing. But furthermore, what indeed will happen to your money? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ensure that it goes to the right cause. And if you refuse to give it to the rightful owner, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it away from you. As simple as that. Let me just share with you a personal anecdote. In our shul last Simchas Torah, they were selling the aliyahs, which is the minig in Klal Yisrael. And of course, this was done lechvoid ha-Torah, and for reason, everybody understood that the shul needs critical funding, and the more we raise, the more we'll be able to be mekadeshim shemayim. So they started the bidding process, and at the beginning it was going rather slow. One of the members of the Kehillah stood up and he asked me permission. He said, do you mind if I just say a couple of words? I know I haven't been asked. I said, please. He stood up and he says, I'm a working man. And Baruch Hashem, I'm earning my parnasa. I understand it's very simple. I'm earning more than I need. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by organizing that I'm part of this Torah Dikki Kehillah, has clearly sent me money in order to be mechazik the Torah in the Kehillah. There are many others who are in the same situation. Don't you understand that if you don't give it to the rightful address, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take it away from you? So what do you gain by not offering it? Rather, offer it to the Kehillah, and that way you have both the zechus of being a shutter for partner in a project of Torah, and number two, you have used the money for the address. You've sent it to the address that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to arrive at the first place. After that, Baruch Hashem, the bidding went through the roof. But that's the correct attitude. And that's what the Chovas HaVavos is warning about. And the truth is, the Tor in Hilchos Tzedaka talks about this. Let me just read to you a few words. The Tor in Hilchos Tzedaka says, in the very first siman, when he talks about the obligation that all of us have to give tzedaka, and he says, Va'al yale beliboy. The following thought should not cross your heart, loima, to say, eich, ech sar mamayini. How can I possibly lose out from my own hard-earned money, litnoi la'aniyim, to give it to poor people? Listen to these words. Ki yesh loy lo da'as, because a person has to know, she'ein hamamayin sheloy. It is not his money. Elo pikodoin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has deposited it with him, la'asos boy, to do with it, ratzon hamafkid, the will of the depositor. And the depositor is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido ba'atzmai. So, the question is a very good question. Am I expected to give away my money? That question has no answer. No, you're not. But rather, the question is a mistake. It's not your money. It's a deposit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has deposited it with you to distribute to the addresses that he wants the money to arrive at. And this is what the Chovas HaVavos is pointing out. This is the mistake, the tragic mistake that the wealthy person can make. He explains, and he says, that very often the Shoresh, the basis of this mistake, is as follows. A person becomes wealthy, and in this Olam Hafuch that we live in, a wealthy person is quote unquote worth more. That terrible phrase, how much is he worth? Which of course should always be paraphrased, how much money has HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, deposited in his bank account? How much is he worth? Depends on how much he davens, how much he learns, how much he does mitzvahs. But in this distorted world that we live in, we see that the facts on the ground are that people give kavod, undue kavod, to those who are wealthy. We all know the words of the Mishnah in Masechtas Avos. Four words. Ein kavod ela Torah. That's the real kavod. But we don't live in the real world. Somebody came, a young man once came to Rosh Hashanah, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he said, I don't know what to do. I've won a lottery ticket, and I'm the proud owner now, the prize winner of an expensive car. Okay. I'm just wondering, he said, he asked Rosh Shiva, should I really drive it round here in Bnei Brak? He says, why not, if it works? He says, but I'm worried people will see me driving this fancy car and they'll be jealous. So the Rosh Shiva said to him, tell me, just, if you don't mind me asking, do you happen to know Shas Baal Peh? He was a bit taken aback by the question. He says, no. He says, well, perhaps half of Shas? No. Do you know one Masechta in Shas Baal Peh? He says, no. He says, perhaps, do you know one Perek in Shas off by heart? No, I can't say I know one Perek. So he says, Rosh Shemin, well then what's there to be jealous about? He understood the question very well, but he hoped that the questioner understood the answer just as well. People be jealous of a car. If you know a perek of Shas Baal Peh, there's what to be jealous about. Ein kavod ela Torah. There is a wonderful, wonderful diuk of the Beis HaLevi in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, when Yosef HaTzadik is describing his dreams. And as we know, he had two dreams. One, the bundles of corn. The second, the stars. So we all understand that why two dreams? Because the bundle of corn clearly represents Gashmias. In that, Yosef HaTzadik became the Melech, and he became the distributor of all the corn. The second dream, the star, obviously represents Ruchnias, heavenly matters, Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef Olis Al-Kulana, he became the Tzadik of the Shvatim. But look at the difference, says the Beis HaLevi, between the Loshon of the first dream and the second dream. Because in the first dream it says, and your bundle bowed down, vatishtachavena la'alumosi. They bowed down to my bundle. You know what it says in the second dream? V'achad asar koichovim mishtachavim li. Bowing down to me. In the first dream, it doesn't say that your bundles were bowing down to me. What were they bowing down to? My bundle. But in the stars, they were bowing down to me. Says the Beis HaLevi, that's the difference between Ruchnias and Gashmias. When it comes to Ruchnias, that's what the person is. That's not what he has. That's what he is. How much is he worth? The answer is, how heavenly is this person? Mishtachavim li, they were bowing down to me personally. That's what I am. My bundle of corn is not what I am. It's that which I have. So at best, your bundles were bowing down to my bundle of corn, which I happen to own. But I don't identify myself with what I own. That's not what I am. Rather, that's what I have. But in the second dream, Mishtachavim li, my ruchnius, that's what I am. Dovid HaMelech in Tehillim says, Va'ani tfilo. He didn't say, Va'ani mispalel. This is not something that I just do. This is what I am. Chazal tell us that you're supposed to stand up for a Talmud Chacham because he's like a Sefer Torah. When he learns Torah, it's not just something that he does, this is what he is. So this is the real Hashkafas HaTorah.
But we don't live in a real world. We live in a distorted world. We live a world in which people think that bundles of corn are in fact what they are. How much is he? How much is he worth? Is exactly in accordance with how much money he has in his bank account. Well, if that's what I am, why on earth would I want to give it away? Nobody gives away his fingers or his legs, so how can I give away my money? It's part of me. Imagine, if you will, some children, or adults for that matter, playing Monopoly. The aim of the game is, who can have the most money at the end? And in the middle, one of the contestants says to the other, would you mind just giving me $500? What's going on? What do you mean, give you $500? Are we playing the game seriously or are we not playing the game seriously? If we're playing the game seriously, then obviously I'm not giving you $500 because that's the whole point. Who can end up with the most money? So it's not just a moshel. Because unfortunately, the nimshel, I think, is truer than the moshel. The attitude of the world at the moment is that we're all playing Monopoly. The winner is whoever ends up with the most toys. So I should give that away? What do you mean give it away? Am I treating life seriously or I'm not treating life seriously? Isn't life all about liberty and the pursuit of happiness? You incidentally never get to happiness. You're always pursuing happiness. So why would I want to give away life? If you identify life as in how much money I have, how many toys I own, why on earth would I want to give it away? And if I give it away, I'm in fact giving a part of myself away. So then I understand. Very correct. Nobody would do that. But the Hashkafas HaTorah, as the Torah has just taught us, our money is not ours. It is literally a pikudim. We don't see it as such because we look in a world where people identify themselves with money, says the Chovos HaLevavos, this is the world that we live in. We live in a world where you see that kovod goes for people who are wealthy. I once heard that Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkoyim Gomoy, was on a fundraising trip. Ki Yadua, he went to America for a year. And one occasion he got caught in terrible, terrible weather. The streets were not like they were nowadays, and his shoes or boots got terribly muddy. And he went on this fundraising mission. He knocked on the door of a potential donor, but he didn't want to tramp all over his house with his muddy boots. So instead of knocking at the main entrance, he knocked at the side entrance, where they used to deliver the coal. The person opens the door and he was thrilled and privileged, deeply honored to see the Gadol HaDor, Rabbi Hanan Wasserman. And he said, but why on earth are you knocking at the side entrance door where the maidservant enters with a bag of coal? And he says, listen, I've got terribly muddy boots. I wouldn't want to step all over your carpet with these boots. And he said to Rabbi Hanan, I have a taina on you. I have a taina on you. I want you to walk through my front door. My children see that a Gadol HaDor comes through the side door, and when my business associates arrive, they come through the front door. What type of chinuch habonim will this be? That the Gadol HaDor should walk through the side door and be machabed business associates more than Torah? Ein kovei de la Torah, and he insisted that Rabbi Hanan came with his muddy boots through the front door. And he pointed to all his children, look what a tremendous kovod we have today. The Gadol HaDor has come from Europe, from Baranovich, and he's honored us with his presence. Yeah, muddy boots, not muddy boots. That's the correct Hashkafas HaTorah. As the Mishnah says, Ki mechabdai achabeit, those who honor Hashem, they are the ones who are truly zeicha to kovod. So Mamela, Rabbi said, these are all dvorim pshutim. They should be dvorim pshutim, but sometimes we need to do chazar of dvorim pshutim, and these dvorim pshutim are, after all, those dvorim that are most mechazkin. When the Chovos HaLevavos teaches us that our attitude to Parnasa should Rosh Verishrein be in order to survive and to be able to look after ourselves and our families. Extra wealth is a gift, or better defined, it's a deposit. It's a deposit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deposit as much as he wants with you in accordance with the needs of various families, institutions, etc., etc. Why did he not send it directly to the correct address in order to give you this nisayon? And it's not an easy nisayon. I read recently that Ramatatiyahu Salomon, the Lakewood Mashkiach, Shiyarech Yomim B'Shonim, it was my Mashkiach in Gateshead at the time, he once was with a stipler, and the stipler said, every night I go to bed petrified that tomorrow I'll wake up a wealthy man. That's my worst nightmare, that I should become wealthy. Why? Because if I become wealthy, tremendous wealth comes together with tremendous achrayas. And if you have tremendous achrayas, then you need to know, will I be zeicha to be mekayim that achrayas? The responsibility of having wealth, and again I stress, wealth doesn't mean millions. The responsibility of having extra money means that we ensure that we truly understand that it is a deposit in our bank account. That's not true kavod, ein kavod ala Torah. And if indeed we pass it on to the correct family or institution or wherever it may be, all we have done is restore the money to its rightful owner. As the Rosh Hashiva said, the yeshiva has all the money it needs. At the moment, it's sitting in your pockets. That is the correct attitude to the money that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been so kind as to deposit with us. And indeed, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that a person uses his money correctly, then one thing will happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deposit with him more money. If you had $1 million to deposit, you'd want to deposit with somebody who knew how to look after it. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam sees that you know how to look after money because you deposit it with a rightful cause, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to consider you a medium or a conduit for that money. Having said that, there are occasions, there was a story in Brisk where there was a great Baal Tzedakah, and everybody knew that he was the address to turn to, and yet he lost all his money. And they came to Reb Chaim Mibrisk and they said, how can that be? He was such a Baal Tzedakah. Why has HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him? And Reb Chaim Mibrisk says he hasn't punished him. He passed the test of wealth with flying colors. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving him the test of poverty. There's no need to continue giving him wealth. He's already passed that test. But the bottom line is, indeed, it's a test. So, together with the correct ishtadlus, together with the right bitochin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides everybody with their needs, whether it be via my own pocket or via somebody else's pocket, emet Hashem, may we be zeicha. Na ro'isi v'gam zokanti v'loi ro'isi tzadik ne'ezov. The tzadik, the baal bitochin. Every day we daven for bitochin al hatzadikim. Mishon or miftoch latzadikim. The tzadik is the baal bitochin and there is haftocha. V'loi ro'isi tzadik ne'ezov. I have never seen, says David HaMelech, a tzadik be abandoned. He will get exactly what he needs. It may be via his own pocket, it may be via our pocket. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu indeed be mezakeh. We should always be min ha'noisnim and not min ha'makablim or min v'kein yiratzim.
Yeah, check. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Go on.